This is All Things Considered on WBUR. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. For 30 years, the so-called troubles in Northern Ireland between Irish nationalists and British loyalists led to regular bombings, shootings, and killings.
The IRA used the simplest of tactics, hand-delivering a bomb across the counter at a fish and chip shop.
A car bomb left in the main street exploded.
A decade after the historic peace accord there, Boston College began assembling the stories of people on both sides of the conflict. Now, British law enforcement wants the recordings of interviews conducted for that oral history research, known as the Belfast Project. Britain claims the recordings may contain information about the killings of several people, including a Belfast mother of 10. One former IRA member has claimed that Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams ordered that murder. A federal judge in Boston has ruled that BC must surrender some of the recordings because of a U.S. treaty with Britain, and the school is now deciding whether to appeal. But the director of the Belfast Project, Irish journalist Ed Maloney, and the man who did the IRA interviews, Anthony McIntyre, are appealing. When we spoke with them this week, McIntyre told us he only promised confidentiality to his interview subjects because that's what BC promised.
It seems to me that Boston College did not have the terra firma on which to stand legally when they stated that the ultimate power of release of the interviews lay with the interviewee, not anybody else.
Ed Maloney, then, as the director of this project, is it fair to say that when you received BC's assurances, you didn't feel that you had to then further research and vet the promise? You simply accepted at face value what the college told you?
Yes, indeed, because we were dealing with one of the most prestigious colleges in North America, which had built up a very solid reputation as an intervener in the Northern Ireland peace process. And the thought that we should somehow doubt these people's word and go away and separately check, to us at that time, it would have seemed almost an act of betrayal of the people that we were dealing with.
Anthony, you're a former member of the Irish Republican Army who served 18 years in prison for the murder of a loyalist. You now say that you are afraid for your own safety if the tapes are released. Why?
Former senior members of the IRA are accusing me of being an informer. I know that they are ratcheting up the hate campaign so that I will become a hate figure or at least more susceptible to being attacked in that circumstance.
The IRA has this attitude that you may leave the organization, but its secrets stay on forever, and that anyone who's seen to be party to divulging those secrets, even though it's for an academic exercise and not to the British, would be deemed by them to be guilty of informing. The penalty is death. So Anthony McIntyre's life is at stake here, and very possibly mine as well.
Ed, in your appeal, you're expressing concern that the peace process in Northern Ireland could be jeopardized if the tapes are made public. Why do you fear that?
A lot of us, and myself included, suspect that one of the motives behind this bid for these interviews is because the police know exactly where the trail is going to end up. It's going to end up at the door of Gerry Adams. Gerry Adams is a leader of Sinn Féin and a former IRA leader. He's responsible for the peace process. The peace process has brought Sinn Féin into government. And if Gerry Adams ends up either being accused or being indicted or being the subject of a civil action as a result of all of this, I don't have to spell out the damage.
On the other hand, this case has to do with an unsolved murder, the mother of 10 who was killed by the IRA. How do you make a persuasive argument that that information should not be turned over to law enforcement if it could solve a murder?
I would be the first one to applaud you in terms of the sentiments that you've just expressed if the same standards were being applied across the board. I have nothing but sympathy for Jean McConville and her family. There are other examples of police agents in Belfast who've been exposed, policemen who were running double agents in loyalist or and Republican organizations who allowed those people to murder at will. Nothing has happened. The same people who are investigating this case refuse to investigate their own police officers. And when you have double standards, then you're entitled to say no.
Anthony McIntyre, you are now appealing the judge's decision on your own, separate from Boston College. How do you expect this to turn out?
I am hopeful that reason and logic, both at the political and the judicial level, will prevail. The only reason that those interviews are not now in the hands of the Police Service of Northern Ireland is because myself and Ed Maloney have been in the courts defending those interviews and doing our utmost not to hand
Both of you are clearly very disappointed with Boston College. On the other hand, the college has fought this. It has tried to stand up for academic freedom. Do you not think the BC has done enough?
No, they certainly have not. They could have taken it to a higher court and convinced that court of the merits of their argument. But no, they didn't. At the first hurdle, they jumped out of the race. I mean, this is a major American college involved in research projects, and it won't defend its own research projects. So what's the lesson from that? Don't do any research projects, at least don't do any that tackle risky subjects, because the college is not going to defend you. Boston College should, on behalf of American academic life, have been in there fighting to the last gasp to defend the values and the principles that lie behind research and academic study. And I'm afraid they didn't do that, and it's to their eternal shame.
Ed Maloney and Anthony McIntyre, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Ed Maloney is an Irish journalist who directed the Belfast Project at Boston College. Anthony McIntyre is a former IRA member who earned a doctorate in history after serving prison time for his crimes and worked as an interviewer for the project. Their account of legal protections promised by Boston College differs sharply from the account offered by the school. Here's BC's communications director, Jack Dunn.
Regrettably, I think Mr. Maloney and Mr. McIntyre have consistently attempted to deflect blame away from themselves. Ed Maloney was hired with the clear understanding that confidentiality was limited to the extent that American law would allow. And for whatever reason, he's chosen to either ignore it, or worse, he chose not to extend that crucial caveat to the interviewers and the interviewees.
You believe, apparently, that Boston College has reached the end of what American law allows in terms of protection?
Well, what American law allows, we've learned through this court proceeding, is that oral history does not trump a criminal investigation with an allied country. From the beginning, we have asked the court to weigh two competing interests, our compelling interests as a university in protecting academic research in the enterprise of oral history, with the legitimate compelling interests of the U.S. government to abide by a treaty obligation with the United Kingdom regarding an investigation into a horrific murder. And to the credit, the court here has weighed those interests.
This has, in many ways, become a very ugly legal fight with a lot of he said going
sure.
on. I'm wondering if you think that this is the kind of case where most people never even assumed anyone would know it was happening. Not that they were trying to hide it, but they certainly never would have expected the British government to be involved in subpoenas to be raining down.
In fairness to Mr. Maloney and Mr. McIntyre and to all of us, I don't think anyone anticipated that law enforcement within the UK would seek a subpoena requesting these materials. Our intentions, all of our intention, was to provide a source of information on a period of great contention in Northern Ireland, in which 3,000 people were killed, so that historians, scholars, journalists in the future would have a resource to try to sort out the issues behind the Troubles. I think unfortunate circumstances occurred that brought this into the public light in a way that people didn't anticipate, and now all of us have to deal with it.
Jack, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for giving me a chance to be here.
Jack Dunn is the communications director for Boston College.